Hi, and welcome to Gospel Mission Church's Message Podcast. We pray that as you listen, you will be both encouraged and challenged to step into what God has in store for you. Here's this week's message from Pastor Brenton.
Yeah, God, we just want to bring you praise and honor and glory, and we just want to say we love you, Jesus. As we hear your word this morning, as we take communion, we just want to have a heart of worship and gratitude for you, God. God, sometimes, you know, the Easter message is something we've heard so many times, and we can almost forget that it really happened, that you really walked this earth, and you really died on the cross, and you didn't just bear the sin of the world, you bore my sin. And God, Holy Spirit, we just pray that reality would just come to life this morning, and that we would just be so grateful in our hearts for you because of what you've done, for how good you are, and how, you're the King of Kings, Lord of Lords, worthy of all our praise and honor. Amen. Right on. Have you guys ever been to a place that you weren't allowed to go to before? 3 weeks ago, me and my wife, we went to Vegas. And if you're a pastor, what happens in Vegas doesn't stay there. It becomes a sermon illustration. So here it is. We were in Vegas. We were touring a few different places in the Grand Canyon and just a bunch of different canyons. And one of the canyons I was excited to see was Bryce Canyon. Seen some pictures, and it looks so cool. And I think the day before we went there, we found out that actually, because of it's a really high elevation, they had also gotten so much snow that you can't really do anything there. You can't really go down into the canyon. So we arrived at the canyon, and it was beautiful. It was amazing, but it irked me so bad because you couldn't go down. And actually, we went past one part where there was a bit of a chain to take pictures. And I took a picture of my wife crossing the chain because she's always following the rules, but I didn't bring that picture today. But the whole time I was very annoying because I just wanted to go down, and I was trying to convince Valerie, my wife, that we could go down. I was like, look, Val, there's tracks down there. I think we can go. I see the way they did that? I think we can go down. And she was like, those are animal tracks. So they have hooves. That's a little easier. But the whole time I wanted to go there, but we couldn't. The trail and the way was closed off. And in the old covenant, before Jesus came, there was a place where it was kind of closed off to pretty much everyone. And that was behind the second curtain. There was a room called the Most Holy Place. The temple was the holy, you know, it was God's house, right? And it was a holy place. But then beyond the second curtain, there was a curtain, and that's where it was called the Holy of Holies. It's where, you know, God dwells in the earth, right? But in the Holy of Holies, that was where God was. His manifest, the very presence of God was there. And so this curtain, that this second curtain, it wasn't just your average living room curtain. If the wind blows a little bit, it flaps open, and all of a sudden you can find yourself in the Holy of Holies. It was, people, scholars would say it's probably around 40 to 60 feet high and 4 inches thick of woven material. So this was not your average curtain. And you know, scholars said too that it was probably easier to break a cement wall than to break this curtain, because it was made out of just woven together material, 4 inches thick, 60 feet high. So this is a massive, massive curtain. And no one could go beyond the curtain, but only the high priest, it says in Hebrews, entered in the inner room, and that only once a year, never without blood, which he offered for himself and for the sins of the people that had committed in ignorance. So this priest too, he wouldn't just waltz into work and say, today's the day, I'm entering the Holy of Holies, it's going to be a good day, grab my blood, let's go. he would stay up all night. He would be praying. He'd be, you know, reading scripture. He'd be confessing sin to other priests. That morning he would come. He would be washed clean. He would put on fresh clothes that were sparkling and spotless. And people, scholars even say that he had a rope tied to his ankle, because if he wasn't, in a sense, perfect as he crossed through the second curtain, he would drop dead, because the presence of God was so holy and God cannot be where sin was. So he probably walked in there that day and was like, okay, here we go. You know, with a bit of fear and trembling, he walked through the curtain. He presented the blood to God. But that curtain, that thick, tall curtain, represented our separation from God. You know, there was this thick curtain, and on one side, we were unclean. We were sinful people who had fallen short of the glory of God. And on the other side, there was God, perfect, holy. And even though, you know, sacrifices were made day after day after day, in Hebrews 10, verse 4, it says, it's impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sins. If I was a priest reading that Hebrews, I'd be maybe a little bit gypped. Like, I did all that for nothing? But no, it wasn't for nothing. It was all pointing to the coming Messiah. It was all pointing to the ultimate sacrifice. These animal sacrifices provided a covering, but not a full cleansing of sin. They were all pointing to the perfect Lamb, who was the Lamb of God, the one who could actually bear the sins of the world. And often when we focus on, you know, the Easter story, and maybe we watch the Passion of the Christ, and we picture Jesus on the cross, so much of our attention is focused on the physical beating that Jesus took that day. And it was a horrific death, right? He was tortured, he was whipped, he was mocked, he was stripped down and put on a cross, and he hung there for hours. It was the worst death. The Romans gave this death to the worst sinners. And the Lamb of God was there, and he experienced that. But sometimes we don't remember what would have been incredibly painful was that he was bearing our sin on the cross. It says in 2 Corinthians that 5, that he who knew no sin became sin, that we might be right with God. And we know sin, right? We know sin. We've sinned. We've fallen short of God. Even though I that know sin and know the burden that it has, I can't even imagine bearing everyone's sin. Well, here was Jesus, and he knew no sin, and he was bearing our sins. It says again, he that knew no sin became sin, that we might become, you know, the righteousness of Christ. And so he took your sin, he took my sin. Why? Well, the message is really beautiful. In John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. He did this because he loves you. He loves you so much. That's why God sent his Son. And it says when, you know, about Jesus, that for the joy set before him, he endured the cross. That joy was that this separation would be gone, right? That this joy would be that his children would be reunited with him. God wanted that curtain to come down. He wanted the curtain to come down. And in Matthew 27, verse 50, it's so beautiful. When Jesus had cried out again in a loud voice, he gave up his spirit. And at that moment, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. Imagine that. A 60-foot, 4-inch curtain just completely tearing. If there was any priests in the temple during that time, they probably would have been, what do we do now? What just happened? It tore from top to bottom. And I don't know if you have any people in your life who, when they unwrap a Christmas present, they kind of do it with maybe two fingers, you know? And they're just like, I need to keep the wrapping paper or something. But has anyone ever actually reused the wrapping paper? I don't know. But they kind of lightly open it up. But I don't think that's how God lightly threaded the curtain that day. I believe it was a violent tearing. It was a violent tearing because the moment that it was torn, it was signifying that this way into the Holy of Holies was now not just available for one man once a year, it was available to absolutely everyone. And in Hebrews 14, it says, "For by one sacrifice, he has made perfect forever those who are being made holy," and it's those who have accepted this gift of salvation through Jesus and who have been forgiven. And we're forgiven, and where there have been forgiven, sacrifices of sins are no longer necessary. Therefore, this is now what we're called to do in light of this. "Therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus and by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain that is his body." Isn't that beautiful? The curtain is completely torn, and now it actually says Jesus is the curtain. You accept the message of Jesus, and you can actually walk through the curtain, and it says it with confidence. With confidence. The high priest, when he walked through that curtain once a year, I don't know if he had confidence. Because there was a possibility that he was, you know, as they tied the rope around his ankle, I don't know if he was saying, "This is going to be fun. This is going to be, oh, I'm so pumped." You know, there was a holy fear that he had. And here in Hebrews it says, we can waltz right in with confidence. Because the curtain is now Jesus. The curtain is torn. And the way is open. Isn't that awesome? Isn't that amazing? The curtain is torn. But my challenge today is, do we live like the curtain is torn? Do we live like the curtain is torn? Or do we live like there's still a curtain there? I don't know if you've ever seen, you know, a mime when he's in a glass box. I'll try to do an impression this morning. It's kind of... And they're like, "Whoa, you're kind of fascinated." And as a little kid, I remember when I would see a mime like that, I'm like, "What is this? What? There's nothing there, but there is. I don't understand." My little brain could not keep up and comprehend what was going on. It was like something was there, but there was nothing there. But I think that's us sometimes. I think sometimes we live like, even though the curtain is torn, there's sin doesn't have the power to separate us from God. We live like there's still a curtain there. We live like we can't quite enter the presence of God. And maybe like the high priest, we say, "Okay, well, I'm going to pray all night. I'm going to wash myself clean. I'm going to get ready. I'm going to dress up in new clothes. And okay, now I can come to church. Now I can enter through the curtain. Now I can maybe be good enough to enter the presence of God." But that's not the gospel. That's not the gospel. In Hebrews 4 verse 16, it says, "Let's boldly come to the throne of our gracious God. There we will find mercy and we will find grace to help us when we need it the most." Where are you going to find mercy? There. Where is there? Beyond the curtain, in the very presence of God. Where do you first clean yourself up and then come to the throne? When mercy is already delivered? No, it's in the very presence of God you receive mercy. And then it says, "There and we find grace to help us when we need it the most." Grace is not only, you know, sometimes in this, you know, we define grace as, "Oh, my sins are forgiven and God just kind of forgets them and I can move on." But grace is actually the Holy Spirit empowering us to live a life that's pleasing to God. Grace is God's favor and power on your life to live out a life that you can never have lived before. And so much of my life, I feel like I had a curtain there. And I had to clean up before I went to God. And I was struggling with different things in my life and just in a cycle of sin. But I couldn't break that cycle because I couldn't approach God until I had done the cleaning up first. I couldn't experience his love until I hadn't sinned in a week. You know, I couldn't be right with God. But Hebrews says it's there. you receive mercy. It's there you receive grace. And I really believe that if we realize this morning in our lives that the curtain is torn, that sin doesn't have the power to separate us from God. We need to confess our sin, but we need to do that in the very presence of God. There is no cleaning up and coming to God. There's no cleaning up and then, okay, now I'm good enough to sit here in church. No, we've all fallen short of the glory of God, and the beauty of the gospel is that curtain is torn. It didn't just get lighter. You know, it didn't just get shaved off to a fraction of an inch. It is torn, and Jesus Christ is the curtain. Let's just keep reading this in Hebrews 10. It's so beautiful. We're just going to read. We've read part of it, but we'll read further. Therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain that is his body, since we have this great high priest over the house of God, this is the climax right here. Let's draw near to God with a sincere heart, with full assurance that faith brings, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience, having our bodies washed with pure water, and let's hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. A huge part of the message of Easter is that we're forgiven. That Christ bore our sins on the cross and we are forgiven. But it talks about in Hebrews, don't just stop at celebrating your forgiveness. Draw near to God. Draw near to God. God broke, you know, he tore the curtain so that you can draw near, so that all of his children could experience a personal relationship with God. And Hebrews is saying, this is why Christ came once and for all. Therefore, enter the holy place with confidence. Draw near to God. That's so beautiful. And it's unbelievable because we're sinful. We've fallen short of the glory of God. And in the Old Testament, you have one high priest, and he makes all these preparations. He gets himself all perfect to enter God's throne room. And now God just says, come. The curtain is torn. I'm the curtain. Walk through my flesh. If you accept me, then you can experience the presence of God. It makes this life so much better because we can experience help from God in that place, and that's where we get his power to live a life that's pleasing to him. It's way better, right? You know, in the Old Testament, church wasn't really church, but church was a little boring. They would watch, maybe it wasn't boring actually, it was still exciting, but they would watch Moses enter the tent of meeting. He'd be like, oh, there he goes, he's in. Oh, sweet, that was really cool. Wow, he just walked right in the tent. Guess what, God is in the tent. Wow, what are they talking about? I don't know. Let's see what happens next. 3 hours later, come. Oh, he's out. Oh, his face is glowing. Oh, man, let's hear what Moses has to say. Moses actually heard from, can you believe it? Moses heard from God. He's going to tell us what God said. Man, church was so good today. What was your favorite part? When Moses entered the tent. That was so cool. Man, what was your favorite part? When he came out. That was amazing. It got a little bit boring in the middle there, but so cool. And we don't have to wait. We don't have to watch, you know, someone enter the tent. We can experience it for ourselves. We can draw near. And this morning, I just really want to tell you, I don't know where you've been. I don't know the mistakes you've made, but Jesus, he died and he ripped the curtain for everyone. It's everyone's the same. This invitation is open to every single person. And you see the heart of Jesus as he's on the cross. People are making fun of him. You know, they're dividing his clothes. And he says, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. God has a heart of forgiveness towards you. And no matter how many times you will reject him, He will pursue you until he has you. In Revelation 3, verse 20, it says, here I am, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come and eat with that person and they with me. And that's the invitation that we have today. God is knocking and he's inviting us. If you make Jesus Christ your Lord, if you, you know, can confess your sin, and if you've done that, you can enter his throne. You can be in his very presence, in spite of all the mistakes you've made, because it's in his presence. It's in his presence you'll find mercy. It's in his presence that you'll find grace to live out this life. Amen? I'll invite the worship team to come forward. Yeah, and can we just pray this morning all together? Yeah, God, we just worship you this morning. God, we thank you that it's made so clear that we are invited into your presence, and you invite us to draw near to you. And that's not an invitation for those that are perfect enough. That's an invitation for anyone that accepts this free gift of God. Anyone that says, God, I accept you into my life. I want to make you Lord of my life. And the way is open. The way to the Father is through you, Jesus. And God, we thank you that if we've made that decision in our heart to become a Christian, you then call us to boldly approach your throne. To boldly, with confidence, come into your presence. Not to clean ourselves up. Not to get right before you and then sheepishly say, God, hi, I've been away from you for a while, but I'm back and I'm sorry and I'll try to make it up and I'll try to be good enough to please you. No, you want us to sit right on the throne, right in the Holy of Holies, to receive your mercy, to receive your grace, and partner with you to live a life that's pleasing to you. We thank you for that message, God. We thank you that the veil is torn. The veil is torn. I pray that we live like it. Just with every eye closed this morning, if you've been living kind of like that curtain is still there between you and God, and maybe you've been trying to clean yourself up before entering the presence of God, Jesus tells this beautiful parable of the prodigal son. And the prodigal son, he squanders all of the father's inheritance on wild living. He ends up feeding pigs and then realizing, I'm in a big mess. I messed up. I need to come back to God. And he came back to God not in a tuxedo. He came back to God and his clothes were filthy from the pigs. And God didn't say, well, no, son, you're disgusting. You smell like pig. God embraced them. The father embraced them, and he put a robe around him and a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. And he says, welcome home. I just want to let you know that the father, that invitation is open for you today to come home for God. And if you truly have a repentant heart, God will not say no. He will take you in. If that's you this morning, and you just want to say, I want to come back to God. I want to come to the throne and receive mercy and grace. Just raise your hand and say, I want to come back to God today. Thank you for your hand in the middle. In the back there, thank you for your hand. Thank you for your hand on the side. I don't want to wait too long, but I just want to give just a time for Holy Spirit to speak to your hearts. If that's you, just raise your hand. Yeah, thank you for your hand in the middle. Yes, God, thank you that the veil is torn. Thank you that you did it because you loved us so much and you're so good. And God, we just want to praise you and worship you and not take it for granted that this morning and in our lives that we can walk right into the very presence of God and receive your mercy and grace. Amen.
Thank you for joining us on the GMC podcast. For more info about what's going on this week, check out gmchurch.ca. Thanks for listening. Have a wonderful week.